the mountain, from the river, and up from the rocky steep. Then rose a cry to the gates of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep.
When the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own.
Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own.
Rejoice, rejoice, the Lord brings back his own.
I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering. It's a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Let's now join together with hymn number 53 from the Christian Science Hymnal. And just a reminder, the link to the words of this hymn are on our website on the Follow the Meeting page. Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. I shall be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. We'll start with Isaiah. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people. From 1 Kings. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Now from Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then an herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, the sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worship, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Wherefore at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then they brought these men before the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn of the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now from Exodus and Job and Deuteronomy. If a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good. Thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Now from Proverbs and Psalms. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Then shalt thou walk in thy ways safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Be not afraid of sudden fear, for the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and shield. The law of the Lord is perfect. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now from St. Matthew and St. John. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Revelation. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face were as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me, saying, Go and take the little book. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire. Finally, from Psalms, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Now, correlative passages from Science and Health by Mary Baker Eddy. This angel or message, which comes from God, clothed with a cloud, prefigures divine science. Its feet are pillars of fire, foundations of truth and love. It brings the baptism of the Holy Ghost, whose flames of truth were prophetically described by John the Baptist as consuming error. The still, small voice of scientific thought reaches over continent and ocean to the globe's remotest bound. It is heard in the desert and in dark places of fear. Definition of fear: heat, inflammation, anxiety, ignorance, fire, fear, remorse, lust, hatred, destruction, affliction purifying and elevating man. Fear never stopped being and its action. If the eyes see no sun for a week, we still believe that there is solar light and heat. Science, in this instant named natural, raises the human thought above the cruder theories of the human mind and casts out a fear. One should not tarry in the storm if the body is freezing, nor should he remain in the devouring flames. Until one is able to prevent bad results, he should avoid their occasion. The press unwittingly sends forth many sorrows and diseases among the human family. It does this by giving names to diseases and by printing long descriptions which mirror images of disease distinctly in thought. Here you may see how so-called material sense creates its own forms of thought, gives them material names, and then worships and fears them. It is the mortal belief which makes the body discordant and diseased in proportion as ignorance, fear, or human will governs mortals. We should master fear instead of cultivating it. It was the ignorance of our forefathers in the departments of knowledge now broadcast in the earth that made them hardier than our trained physiologists, more honest than our sleek politicians. Jesus demonstrated the inability of corporeality, as well as the infinite ability of spirit, thus helping erring human sense to flee from its own convictions and seek safety in divine science. In science, you can have no power opposed to God, and the physical senses must give up their false testimony. We cannot build safely on false foundations. Truth makes a new creature in whom old things pass away and all things are become new. Passions, selfishness, false appetites, hatred, fear, all sensuality yield to spirituality, and the superabundance of being is on the side of God, good. We cannot fill vessels already full. They must first be emptied. Let us disrobe error. Then, when the winds of God blow, we shall not hug our tatters close about us. You say, I have burned my finger. This is an exact statement, more exact than you suppose, for mortal mind and not matter burns it. Holy inspiration has created states of mind which have been able to nullify the action of the flames, as in the Bible case of the three young Hebrew captives cast into the Babylonian furnace, while an opposite mental state might produce spontaneous combustion. Heat and cold are products of mortal mind. The body, when bereft of mortal mind, at first cools, and afterwards it is resolved into its primitive mortal elements. Nothing that lives ever dies, and vice versa. Mortal mind produces animal heat, and then expels it through the abandonment of a belief, or increases it to the point of self-destruction. Hence, it is mortal mind, not matter, which says, I die. Heat would pass from the body as painlessly as gas dissipates into the air when it evaporates, but for the belief that inflammation and pain must accompany the separation of heat from the body. It's like walking in darkness on the edge of a precipice. You cannot forget your belief of danger, and your steps are less firm because of your fear and ignorance of mental cause and effect. When infringing some supposed law, you say that there is danger. This fear is the danger and induces the physical effects. The so-called laws of mortal belief are destroyed by the understanding that soul is immortal and that mortal mind cannot legislate the times, periods, and types of disease with which mortals die. There is no vapid fury of mortal mind expressed in earthquake, wind, wave, lightning, fire, bestial ferocity, and this so-called mind is self-destroyed. The manifestations of evil which counterfeit divine justice are called in the scriptures the anger of the Lord. In reality, they show the self-destruction of error or matter, and point to matter's opposite, the strength and permanency of spirit. Christian science brings to light truth and its supremacy, universal harmony, the entireness of God, good, and the nothingness of evil. The understanding, even in a degree, of the divine all-power destroys fear and plants the feet in the true path, the path which leads to the house built without hands, eternal in the heavens. It is proverbial that Florence Nightingale and other philanthropists engaged in humane labors have been able to undergo, without sinking, fatigues and exposures which ordinary people could not endure. The explanation lies in the support which they derive from the divine law, rising above the human. The rich in spirit help the poor in one grand brotherhood, all having the same principle or father. And blessed is that man who seeth his brother's need and supplieth it, seeking his own in another's good. Millions of unprejudiced minds, simple seekers for truth, weary wanderers athirst in the desert, are waiting and watching for rest and drink. Give them a cup of cold water in Christ's name, and never fear the consequences. Let neither fear nor doubt overshadow your clear sense and calm trust, that the recognition of life harmonious, as life eternally is, can destroy any painful sense of or belief in that which life is not. Let Christian science, instead of corporeal sense, support your understanding of being. And this understanding will supplant error with truth, replace mortality with immortality, and silence discord with harmony. The relations of God and man, divine principle and idea, are indestructible in science. And science knows no lapse from nor return to harmony, but holds the divine order, or spiritual law, in which God and all that he creates are perfect and eternal, to have remained unchanged in its eternal history.